start with where you were born, and we can take it from there. That would be absolutely fine. So, thank you. My name is...
My name is Miss Doreen Hemus. I was born across Effingham Common in a very nice farm called Lord Farm. My grandfather moved there in 1912 with his family. They worked very, very hard.
Were they farmers?
They were farmers, yes. My grandfather was a farmer, you see. And my father was the son. But he didn't really want to take on farming. It was too much hard work and getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and milking the cows, which today they don't have to milk them by hand, you see. And now they've got lovely hot water and everything laid on. And the farmhouse was facing the farmyard. And the cow sheds were along the side. Grandfather was very fussy. He did keep them nice and clean, or rather his employees did. He employed quite a lot of men from Effingham Village, because Effingham Village was a little, the school was called the Church of England School, a little church, but it's been added on, you see. And I went to school, and the headmaster was Stuart Adams, and his wife was the governess. I was in the governess's class, and they were there for 25 years.
And how many children were in your class?
They had no children.
No, in your class, how many children were in your class?
Oh, I don't know that I could tell you that. I suppose easy 30, because I have had several classes, and a great big fire grate with big knots of coal, like they used to on the railway, with those steam up in Village, we called. They were so big, and it was a lovely farm. It had 5 bedrooms, but of course, like all farms those days, they had a well to get their water, you see. The drinking, pumping well. No sanitation at all, but they had a double one, a little small one for the children, and a bigger one there. But of course, they were what they called those days, farm toilets were called earth toilets. They used to put special stuff into.
Presumably, that was at the end of the garden or something.
That's right, that was it. And it was really wonderful. Outside the back door was a great big tree, and it was full of walnuts when the season was on. And they really hit your head, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, they were lovely. They had a nice lawn.
So how long did your father stay there? Grandfather.
Grandfather went there in 1912 with his wife and his family, my father being one of the sons, you see. And he was there for 16 years, Grandfather was. He moved from there in 1928. He still loved farming, so he went to Ockham, Guides Hill Farm. It was more of a modern farm. It did have a proper toilet, you see.
Right.
Well, of course, as the years went on, so one, I suppose, was a little bit more modern, you see. And at Guy's Hill Farm, there was a lovely little church in a field, and that's where I was christened.
Oh, how nice. Can I just stop you there for a second, make sure that we're getting
right opposite Norwood Farm is the big Effingham Common, you see.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But there was a great big pond facing Grandad's farm, and when it was bad weather and ice, silly thing to do really, but all my father's brothers and sisters, including him and me, because I was the first grandchild, you see, silly like, we used to go skating on there.
Mm-hmm.
So you could see what severe weather we had then, mm-hmm. because we didn't fall through, the ice was like that. And I can remember when I was about, six, trying to skate on there, not knowing what I was really doing.
But
it was fun for Granddad's brothers, sons and daughters.
Was that the pond that's in the grounds?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It might still be there.
Yes, it is.
But it is covered, I think, with a lot of bushes, hawthorn bushes now. But Grandma and Granddad, in their bedroom, when they looked out, they could see the main road because the trees hadn't grown on the common then.
So was the pond between the house and the main road?
Yes, right facing it.
Okay.
Yes. The farm was quite a big farm, really. And as he walked out, to walk along the little path to get onto the main road. So the great big pond was facing his farm, you see. And, all the boys and girls liked skating there. It was a silly thing to do, but, I mean, severe weather, I suppose they were safe. Not any fell through. And then I tell you what Grandma used to do. She used to get up early in the morning, and Grandfather would always make a big fire and make toast, you see, with a big toasting iron. But Grandma would take one of the boys with her in the fields, early hours of the morning, and pick mushrooms. Mm. And then come back, and after the milking session had finished, they went in doors to have bacon and fried mushrooms.
Mm.
She loved going out there every day, but she always took someone with her, you see. Then the railway, they could see the train leaving Effingham Junction and going round the line to Bookham and Leatherhead, Ashstead and right on to Victoria. But a steam train, because the children used to like that, puffing billy and steam trains, you see, then. I remember when I was a girl of 10, going on my own to Guildford. Mother would want something, you see, and I would like to see the shops. In a puffing billy, a steam train then. They had them then.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember. It's only about, grown-up fare was only 10th return.
Gosh.
It was going back many, many years.
How old would you have been when you went to Guildford on the train?
Oh, only about 10 or 11, that's it.
Mm.
But it seemed safer those days.
Mm. Yeah.
Much safer, really.
But you moved to Garthall Farm, didn't you? And then when did you come back again?
We did not took my father and mother and myself. Granddad moved. He was there 16 years at Norwood Farm. He loved it. But a wealthy Russian man, he bought the farm. So Granddad, had he known it was up for sale, he would have loved to have bought it. But he was just too late. This was in 1928. So he liked this area, and he moved with his family to Guy's Hill Farm. And it was a little lane, and opposite there was the field and the little church, and it's still there.
Mm.
I don't know what they called it, or very, very tiny, but I was christened there.
But your father didn't move there, it was just your grandfather that moved there?
Oh, just my grandfather.
So where did your father move
well,
to?
Well, my father, in 1924, I think it was, he didn't exactly... He wanted to be on his own. He didn't really want to take orders from his father, if you know what I mean. So he went to Virginia Water only for 2 years, mother, my father and I. And father managed to farm for the meat king, Vesty. And I suppose Vesty's name from one generation still stands.
Cause it does.
He was the meat king of those days. And he had a farm down at Virginia Water. And father managed that for him for 2 years. That was the meat king, you see. They liked it down Virginia Water, but somehow father liked hare. So he moved back here. And of course, Norwood Farm, granddad wasn't there then. And we moved to New Marsh Farm, which is just down the hill. But of course it's been pulled down now, but it was about 500 years old.
Gosh.
And we had a few rooms there. We were there for 10 years, and then we moved up here. And I've been here 73 years, lifetime. I wasn't quite 16. But we loved the area, and something very interesting, not any of Surrey Gardens houses were built then. Mm. It was one complete field to near the railway bridge and where the new bridge today is built. But I don't know whether they've given it a name or not. But it was a field from where the pub, the Lord Howe, to the bottom of that hill. That was one complete field, and in the middle of it, my father remembers it, was a pond. No houses built in Surrey Gardens then. It was a field surrounded by... Oh, it's my window cleaner. I'll go out in a minute. It was a field surrounded, in the middle was a pond where Surrey Gardens is. Now then, I have heard many years ago, when I was a young woman, and even today, somehow they didn't drain that land, and you'll find even now there's dampness. What do they call it? Oh, it's got a name. When the ground is damp.
Well, marshy, boggy, that sort of thing?
No, the building, the houses, it's the foundation.
Okay.
And it's still, some of them are damp now. So therefore, that field where the pond was, I don't know the builder, but I do know in my young days it was Holford's, and they were big builders of Guildford, but I don't suppose they just are there now.
I think they are.
Are they Holford's, yeah?
Because I think my daughter,
yes,
was taught ballet by a Holford who was a builder, the daughter of a builder, so I think,
yes,
they are still around.
Holford's, mm-hmm. Yeah. They were the first class builders those days, Holford's, and they built nearly all those houses in Surrey Gardens.
So you'd moved here, and your father was doing what at this stage? Because
oh yes, my father, you see, he came back from Virginia.
If I can see him, what do you like to do?
Well, I can pay him.
You can pay him?
Will you tell him that won't be a minute? My father came back from Virginia Water and worked for the meat king down in Virginia Water. and father didn't want to do farming anymore. So he did a little bit of gardening for a time, and then he thought, right, I'm going to see if I can be a painter. And he liked painting. He used to go around painting the houses. But of course they don't do much of it now, because you see, these double glazing windows are wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to paint them every so often. The sun used to blister the paint. I used to paint outside.
But when you came back here, you were 16 or something like that.
Oh, not from North, not from Virginia Water. No, father was down with the meat king. I suppose for about 3 years.
Mm.
It was very nice down there. I remember the school, and I could go there now, and I was only five, at the top of Virginia Water Hill.
So you came back and you moved into this house then?
No. We came back in 1927 or... in about 1927-28.
Okay.
And, of course, father liked farming. We went to Newmarsh Farm.
Oh, that's right, you went to Newmarsh, that's it.
Which is just down there, on the road towards Cobham.
Yep.
And we were there 10 years. We had a few rooms there, but that was the old Newmarsh Farm, which was 500 years old. And there were cottages, you can see the cottages on the main Halsey Road, and it's got the date. Cottages for the farmers of Newmarsh Farm, you see. And there is the date on the cottages when they were built, which I think was about 500 years old. But we lived in the old, now, of course they pulled that old Newmarsh Farm down and built a new one. But part of one field, the farmer now, has let it out to a nursery. Have you seen the nursery?
Yes.
Yes. It's a very small nursery.
But then, when you came back from Newmarsh, did you come from Newmarsh back to here?
To here, yes.
So now you'd be about 16 or 17, wouldn't you?
But I was nearly 16. We came, I can remember it, the 4th of October, 1937, we moved here. And it wasn't called Old Lane Gardens then. What it was called, Surrey Gardens, Old Lane. Surrey Gardens is over there, but we were Surrey Gardens and they put Old Lane. Because Surrey Gardens, my father went with his parents, moved down to Norwood Farm in 1912. Father was only 14 then. And he can remember, my father, the opposite here, right to the railway bridge, was a big field with a pond in the middle.
Yes.
So, and then, of course, as the years went on, so they built some nice bungalows and houses in Surrey Gardens. But when father came, there wasn't any of that.
So
there were these bungalows here, the four, three they pulled down in 1950. Was it 1950? No. 1980.
Yeah, that's more like it.
That's right, 1980. They pulled the three down, and of course I wouldn't move, I own this, and I didn't have to move, you see, it's my property.
Mm.
But I only wished that they had pulled Nambo down completely. Therefore, I would not have a party line. I've got a party wall there.
Mm-hmm. But going back then to, you'd be about 16
when you came here.
So what did you do then when you were 16?
Oh yes, I'd left school when I was 14. And my first job, there was a chemist shop, right, well, where Budgeons is, that used to be a chemist shop. Mm-hmm. And it's called Ashfold. And Adams, the headmaster at Effingham School, when the boys and girls were 14, he always found them a job in a shop or whatever. The boys, I suppose some of them went gardening. And he found me a job in the chemist shop, but I didn't work in the chemist shop. I looked after the little girl and used to, well, I say little, she wasn't in a pram, you know, she was walking there. And I used to help the lady. She was very nice. And she was trying to train me to do housework. But I didn't mind. And to be quite honest, right from today, I love housework. Mm-hmm. Loved it. But that was my first job. It was only a temporary job, you see. And
so can I just stop you? When you were going to school in Effingham, how did you get there? Were you walking?
Oh yes, how did I get there? My mother used to have a bike, and at the back of it, it was like a seat. What did they call carriers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. So I had a cushion, and the feathers came from Grandad's chickens. And Mother made a cushion for me, and she used to cycle with me at the back to Effingham School for years. Well then, of course, there wasn't a lot of traffic those days, and the first bus was a green old-fashioned bus, green paint on. And then, of course, once they started running the bus, it only ran about once an hour, but it was the most old-fashioned bus I've ever seen. Then, of course, I packed up.
Mm. And did you have to go through gates on the road? Were the gates on the road down to the...
No, I know what you're talking about. I'm going to tell you something about toll gate, that's what you're on about. Mm-hmm. It's a different road, but I remember what you're talking about. So when the buses started to run, of course Mother didn't want really, it was hard work for her, me at the back, and she cycled to Effingham village every day, because there was no other transport. Well, when I was about, I suppose, 10 or 11, Father bought me a second-hand bike. He bought it in Cotton, in a garage, for 25 shillings. A second-hand one. And I had that for years, and I had to cycle. All the wind used to blow across that common, and it was so cold. But that's the first time. I was only about, I suppose, 10 when I started cycling. And then my mother gave me a lovely job. Then I used to come home just before it was dark. She'd say, "Would you go on your bike to Cotton and do a bit of shopping?" And I'm glad she did, because right to this day, I absolutely love shopping. Some people say, "Oh, food shopping or dresser." I don't buy many clothes now. I can't go out. I'm housebound now. But I used to love to do that, do Mother's shopping. And I had an old-fashioned straw basket, and I think they were only about 5 or 6 pennies. New ones with a handle, I used to throw it over the handlebars full of shopping, and I loved that. Come home from school and go shopping in Cobham. So it was an easy life then. Really was an easy life.
So how long did you stay with the people who were the chemists?
Oh, in the chemists.
2 or 3 years?
A few years. But then he moved, you see. They were very nice people. They were lovely. I only went there to be trained, you see. And of course the money was terrible. Only a few shillings. But then I did a little bit of domestic work, but not a lot. More or less a training. Then the war came, you see, in 1939. So of course with my age I had to join up. Well, I had sort of a home here, and I'm not really a good mixer. I didn't really want to go into the forces or anything. So I had to join, so I joined the Land Army. And have you seen my badge?
I'll show her afterwards, yes.
Yes, I've got a nice badge. But it took 60 years for the government to give us, the Land Girls, a badge. It's finished off beautiful. 60 years after the war. And my sister saw the advert in the Surrey Advertiser. So she bought it for me. I didn't know anything about it. So one day when she came to lunch, my sister Eileen, she lives at Compton, you see. There's 10 years difference. She said, I've got a present for you, Doreen. I said, well, it's really my big present, just like that, not knowing what it was. So I undid it. She said, you were a good land girl, although I'd never worked on the land. I was lucky there. I did a book round. Oh, yes. I had a black horse who walked all the way round with me. I was frightened of it. But it wouldn't trot, it was too old. And an open float, I used to get drowned. But I did a round here, so I knew all the customers, and they liked me and I liked them. They used to give me lovely Christmas boxes, like 2 and 6, some 5 shillings. One gentleman always gave me £1.
Gosh.
And that was a lot of money. And I was in uniform. And when the war ended, I did the milk round for 4.5 years.
So, which was the dairy?
The dairy, well, it's not now. In the middle of Effingham Village, where the little chapel is,
yeah. Yeah.
And opposite the little chapel, it was called Home Farm. Yeah. And I was there for 13 years. Mm-hmm. I did the milk round for... four and a half years, and I've had enough of it. To be honest, I like the customers, I like the round, I like Christmas time, they used to give me lovely presents. And one farmer across Effingham Common, he was a tree surgeon. I forget his name.
Sounds like Mr. Esler.
That's who it was, Esler.
Esler.
That's it. Well, he was very nice, and his wife was like a lady, and they had a little boy and girl. She dressed so beautiful. And every Christmas time, wouldn't give me a tip or anything, but gave me a lovely joint of venison. Is that deer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I bought it out of my mother. It's a beautiful roast joint you can do. I've got a piece of ends, and she said I was joking. But every year he gave me a lovely piece for Mother to cook, you see, and that was my Christmas present, venison, from Esther. Yeah.
So who owned the dairy?
Who owned the dairy?
Mm.
Oh yes, do you know what? I only wished I only threw it away about a few months ago. There's somebody in Effingham, I don't think it would be you. Oh, someone in Effingham wanted to write every little interesting piece of Effingham. And they did. With a monthly circular that went round to all the villagers only last year. And what a pity I threw it away. A friend of mine, before I had my illness, I used to go every Wednesday morning with the blue bus of East Horsley called Horsley Community Bus, and they still do it.
Yes, they do.
They pick up the villagers, the elderly people that have no cars, and take them to Sainsbury's in Cobham, and we do our shopping. And they were the nicest shoppers out in the bus. We were so friendly, with all of us. No cattiness or anything. They'd rather help people.
That's really nice.
So
very, very nice.
Going back to the dairy for a moment, who was owning the dairy in those days?
Pardon?
Who owned the dairy in those days?
Oh, yes. Oh, two nice brothers. Their names were Curtises. C-U-R-T-I-S. William Curtis, he did all the farming and...
On Home Farm?
At Home Farm. And they were all Jersey cows. And they used to go out in the fields. It was a beautiful sight. With the buttercups, it was a pretty sight. And then his brother, Charles we called him, he did all the machinery, if it went wrong or whatever, of the bottling department. He organised to see all the bottling was done properly, and if there was any nuts and bolts, he could do that. They also had a beautiful shop in Church Street, Bookham, next to the telephone exchange. And it was he had it built, and that was the dairy shop, and nice groceries and sold milk. But they didn't have any cows in that. We had the cows in Effingham Village, you see. And he had that lovely shop built, and that was good trade for him.
Did the brother live down Effingham Common Road?
Yes. And I can tell you where... they both did.
They both did?
Yes. Now then, where you live...
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't... Do you know Kingham's? Do you
I'm next door to where Kingham's lived.
Yes. Nearest to the hill or nearest...
Nearest to the hill.
Yes, well, there's only one house. There was Kingham's and then only one house.
Right.
And then you went up the hill.
That's right.
That's right. And there was a farm next to that.
That's Lower Farm.
That's right, yeah, you remember that, don't
uh-huh.
you? Now, coming the other side of your house, I think there's two houses in between,
mm-hmm.
and Mr. William Curtis, he did all the farming side and the cows, and how many cows he wanted, all the Jersey cows and the milking side of it. Mr. William Curtis, and he lived where you are, if I could remember, a house in between, and then his was an older looking house.
It's still there.
Yes, it's still there. And then I tell you what he had, a big orchard with apples. When he moved and retired, that orchard was all, the trees were all dug up. And a beautiful bungalow, and it's still there. I think it's still there. Mr. Curtis's niece had a house built. And you know the, did they call it Lint? Or is it still Lint House or something? Mr. William Curtis?
No, I can't think. Was it, it wasn't Haverthorne. Was it Haverthorne?
No.
I know the house anyway.
Yes, and it's got a wooden veranda on top.
That's it.
That's right. Well, that's where Mr. William Curtis, he was the farm inside of it with all the cows and that.
So where did his brother live?
Now, his brother lived in the next block of houses called Windy Ridge. No. The next block of houses was called Windy Ridge.
Yes.
Now, the actual owner, Mr. William Curtis and Mr. Charlie, they were brothers. They had a mother. Their father died, you see. And the mother, she died, she lived to 94.
Did she?
And she lived up Windy Ridge, mm-hmm. next to the house that got burnt down with a doodle bug. Did I tell you about that?
No.
No.
Haven't I told you about the doodle bug?
Not yet.
Oh. You know where Windy Ridge is, don't
you?
Yes. Yeah, Windy Ridge there. And the end house, the owner, but she lost her husband, which was Mr. William Curtis and Mr. Charlie's father, because they originated from Yule. Right. They had farms, their father and grandfather, and go back there. In Balham.
Hmm.
Oh yes. Oh, well, in the 1800s.
Hmm.
And they had farms in Yule then. And then from then they moved to Effingham Village in 1933. Hmm. And William Curtis, the house that you know,
yes.
It's still exactly the same. He had a cook living in Cook. And then Charlie Curtis, which was his brother, and he did all the bottling part of the dairy, anything that went wrong, set things out. He lived not at Windy Ridge, but there's another block of houses mm-hmm. before you get to the school,
mm-hmm.
and he lived in the first one.
So, in those days, what was that Indian farm?
Indian farm.
Was that a farm as such?
Indian farm?
Yes.
No, this is what puzzles me. You see, Willie Curtis lived, you know where he lived,
yes.
near you, and then there was his big orchard,
mm-hmm.
and then there was what you call Indian Farm.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was never a farm, not in my days.
Was it not?
No, no animals at all. Mr. and Mrs. Sales, Sales, this is during the war years. He was a gentleman that went to business, and they had a little, like a little summer house, so to speak, but made of brick. And a man and a woman, she was the cook, and he half the time was ill. He lived in like the little summer house. There were no, and they had a garage. And the garage was made into a flat, and the husband was a gardener chauffeur, and they moved to these cottages opposite, you know, the railway cottages.
Mm.
What did they call that? Well, it's a turning off of Old Lane, just over
yes.
there.
Mm.
So Indian Farm was never a farm then?
Never a farm, never. I do honestly know that. They had a great big tennis court, where I suppose in the olden days could have built cow sheds and that, but they never, never. And they made the garage top into a beautiful flat. And when they sold the place, the chauffeur gardener and his wife, and she was spotless. They moved over to the flats over here.
So when do you think they sold it?
What, Indian Farm?
Mm.
Yes, I can partly tell you that. One minute. 19, about 1973, something like that.
Right. So, Basil Moss bought it then, did he?
Basil Moss?
Moss. Moss Bros.
I don't know who bought it.
That's what, who it would be.
But it was £90,000. Is that right?
Oh, I don't know that, but we know that when we moved into the area, the person that was in the Indian Farm was Basil Moss, who was one of the Moss Bros brothers.
Yes, well, I knew the people before him, because
yes.
I served them with milk, and I know their name,
Sales.
S-A-L-E-S.
Yep.
And then, of course, the gentleman you're talking about moved there then. But there was never, never any cows, no nanny goats, no dogs, nothing. And I know that because I used to walk across their lawn to deliver the milk to one of the, well, the husband and wife, but he was always ill, in like a little cottage. They had a little cottage there and a garage, a nice flat over the garage, and there main house was old but modernised, and I knew them as Sales, S-A-L-E-S.
Yeah.
He was a lovely gentleman and he used to go to business in London, but there was never, never any animals whatsoever. Probably, I suppose, might have been in the 1800s, something like that.
On the common there, just at the entrance to Norwood Farm.
Yes.
What's the name of the property on the corner there?
Malibu Dealey. Is that who you're talking about?
Where Ray Davis lived, lived. Slater's Oak. What do you know about Slater's Oak?
Yes, that's what I'm going to talk about. Manabadili, I think they pronounce it that way, they had Slater's Oak.
Mm-hmm.
And one side of the house was a field. And I can see it now. They had donkeys for the children to play on.
Mm-hmm.
He did have a title. He was a Sir Malabadili.
How does that spell? Do you know?
I don't know.
No.
And his mother, this is to a girl, it just sticks.
Mm.
His mother was an old-fashioned lady, and she always wore a black ribbon round her. Do you remember those black ribbons round there?
Mm.
And I do believe she was Lady Malabadili, as title, so he would either be Sir, wouldn't he?
Yeah, possibly.
That's right. And they had a simple boy. And I don't know whether it was on her side or his side. The mother lived there as well. She was a nice old lady with this black ribbon. And they used to walk this poor simple boy up to the station. It was so sad. I suppose he might have been about 14 or 15. But they were titled. I think it Lord and Lady Malabadili or something. I think they were. And they had one side of the house was a great big garden, but they made it into an orchard, and it was the most beautiful sight in the spring, full of daffodils. Oh, it looked beautiful. Full of daffodils. They'd come to me because they had quite a long path to get down from the road to the big house, so they always used to say, just open the gate by the side of the road and put our milk behind a tree.
Mm.
That was nice.
Did you ever come across Mr. Calborn, who was the Lord of the Manor? Did you ever come across him?
Ah, yes. What did you call his name?
Calborn.
That's right. No, I didn't, but Mr. Curtis, the two brothers, Mr. William, the house you know, more him than anyone else, he was great friends of the Lord of the Manor, really great friends. And of course the common involved, didn't it, you see? And Mr. William Curtis lives near you, so he was more involved. Mr. Charlie Curtis, which was his brother, before he came down here, Mr. Charlie, he was a director for United Dairies of Streatham. They were dairy people, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. But you see, before 1933, all the Curtises lived at Yule.
Yes.
And had farms there, but it was all the land is built up now. You would never know there were farms there. But in the 1800s, the two Curtises, their grandparents, you see, they had farms in Yule West. Then they decided they wanted to come in 1933, had the big dairy built and the offices. Nice offices, and we used to look out the window and see the cows in the fields and the buttercups looked really nice.
So were you in the office? Were you reading the books or something?
Yes. After 4.5 years when the war ended, I said to Mr. Curtis, well, I've done the job properly, but I didn't like it because I didn't like the horse. I wasn't used to horses. But they gave me an old one to walk round. So I said, now I want to leave, you see. So they didn't want me to leave. So they said, would I go in the office? And I went in there for 13 years. And I left 1955.
When you were doing the rounds, did you come up onto the common? Did you come up to, you were talking about Mr. Essler. Did you deliver to Mr. Essler?
Oh, yes, yes. He had a housekeeper, and he had a most attractive wife. She was like an actress, and a little boy and girl, I suppose he might have been about 4 or 5, and she was quite made up nicely and dressed beautiful, because he dressed according to the farm, you see. But something went wrong. And she left him for an officer in the Second World War, and took her children with her. He spoke beautiful. He was a tree surgeon, and I do believe he was something of a relation. There was a bit of German blood in there. He had a brother, didn't he?
Yes, he had a brother, definitely.
Yeah, that's right. And, this is good.
Can I get it for you?
Yes, please. This is my sister, Della, which is what I am. My family are. And then they had the Catholic Church, and he built that church. Did you know?
Who built it?
Who built it? Right opposite the Catholic Church.
Yes.
Right opposite is called the Lodge.
Effingham Lodge, yes. Mm.
And the big house.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what was nice, but I was frightened of all that. Us school children with our headmaster, Stuart Adam, and his wife of the governor. Every Monday they wanted us, he had permission, to that big house, had a big swimming pool, I bet it still has. It was called the Lodge.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. A big swimming
swimming pool, yeah.
A pool. And once a week, all the children of Effingham could go there.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain age, I think they might have had to be 10 or 11. But I was nervous of the water, so they said, well, you stay in the school and do your lessons. And the children that want to go swimming and be taught swimming.
Mm.
And that was very nice for the children. Mm.
You say he built the church?
Oh, yes. And what was his name? I believe it's in here.
Okay.
Well, I forget it. And that's a Catholic church, mm. Yes. And I can't think of his name now. And I tell you what, the gentleman that owned the big church, the big house and the swimming pool,
mm.
he came from, must have lived over in a foreign land, mm. because there was an Indian railway and he built that. Well, not himself, he employed men to build the Indian railway.
Oh, right.
And after that, he came over to England to live in...
In the lodge.
In the lodge.
Right.
Whatever was his name, I might think of it. Because he's going back to the country. Yes. So he originated from a foreign land.
Mm.
And when he came over, apart from building the Indian Railway, he had built... from a building firm, I suppose, that church, which was the Roman Catholic
mm.
Church.
Mm.
And, oh, mind you, a little village like that, it was a good little village.
Mm.
They had the Roman Catholic Church, and that man built, if only I could think of the name. And then they had the big church.
St. Lawrence, the main one. Yeah.
Oh, it's in here, yeah.
Mm.
And then they had a little chapel.
That's right.
And that little village had everything. It had blacksmiths, because Curtis's had to have their horses, their shoes done, you see. That's mm. very convenient.
Mm.
Next to that, there's two dirty little old rooms. And he was they called him a snot.
Shoemender.
Repaired shoes.
Mm.
And then, I can tell you this, near the opposite the big church, St. Lawrence's, there's some houses that are built that way, not facing the road. And the very end one, talk about being a bit primitive, his name was Payne. And he bought a great big shed, a new shed, and put it in his lawn. And that was the hairdresser's shop.
Mm.
And the lady that cut the hair, younger, well, I suppose about a teenager, she was trained and she came down and she cut the ladies' and the gents' hair. Well, not the real ladies, the parents, shall I say, and all the children, all the school children, we used to go in our lunch hour for 6 months and have our hair cut. And the big shed, we had it painted, you see. And it was at the very end of that little old park. And he kept it clean, and he did well, because there was no other hairdresser. I don't really think there was a hairdresser in Bookham, not those days, but there was in Effingham. And all he must have made a lot of money.
Mm.
And us children in our school, lunchtime, we used to go and have our hair cut for 6 months. That was a bit primitive, but it was the only way to make a supper. Then they had two pubs. I don't know what they wanted to, but that's Sir Douglas Hay. The name was altered, did you know?
Yes, it
was. During the First World War, it was the pub
was a German name.
Bulcher.
That's all right.
Mm.
And it was King George the Fifth, wasn't it? I think. And a German name, you see.
Mm.
So they altered it to Sir Douglas Haig, but that's what it was called before.
Right.
Because my father then, at that time, he was a teenager, you see.
Yeah.
Mm. Father was only 14, when he went to Norwood Farm.
Mm.
And he used to, he's going in and have a half a pint of drink. Mm. They didn't drink much these days. But they had two pubs, you see. They had one round the corner called The Plough.
Mm.
And that's in that...
Oriston Lane.
Oriston Lane.
Mm.
Yes, what's it called?
Oriston Lane.
Oh, that's right, Oriston Lane,
yes.
Yes. Mm. And my grandfather, there was a nice farmer down there, on the right, mm-hmm. just at the back of the plough.